flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in here on QAM. Hollywood Omar Kelly, Dan Day with you. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, Toyota of Hollywood.com, where Dave Hyde is standing by. Dave, I'm sorry we're running a little behind here. We took a page out of Joe's playbook here, and we're running a little late. But I apologize. Thank you for the time here this morning. This is Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel. Dave, I got to tell you, though, we need someone calm and collected here this morning because we have been all over the map. A lot of this NIL stuff getting people fired up this morning. How's it going?
Yeah, I hear you guys ripping the NIL. Understandable. Needs a little organization, I'd say.
Yeah, a little bit. What do you make of this situation, though, with Wisconsin, you know, essentially saying that they want to force this guy to stay at their school and honor this contract, which is a bogus contract, and then the Big Ten comes out and they're upset. And you know, I just don't get why you want to...
ACC just sticks up their birdie fingers.
Yeah, but like, why, if you're Wisconsin in the Big Ten, do you want to look bad in this thing going after a kid who's like... I mean, let's be honest. Like, is he really that impactful to your program that you need him to stay there? Like, he didn't put up huge numbers last year. I just think it's a bad look for Wisconsin in the Big Ten.
Well, this is bound to happen because at some point there has to be some organization on how to actually run it can't be every year everybody's jumping ship somewhere else, can it? I thought Nick Saban had the best comment yesterday. I was listening to him, and he said players should get paid. Everybody is agreement on that. Of course, he wasn't when he was a coach, but now that he's out, he's agreeing. And
He'd been paying for decades. What are you talking about, Dave?
The SEC hated the NIL because now everybody else is getting paid. But there has to be some organization. Why not make it a 2-year contract or something like that? That, you know, there can be, you know, that'd be for the benefit of the school. It'd be really for the benefit of the development of the player. It'd be a lot of good for it. You could pretend like you're going to classes again, which is funny. You never hear anybody ask, well, what are you majoring
in? Yeah. I'm majoring in playing in the NFL. Dave, I mean, the cat's out the bag right now. We don't have any regulation. You're getting to the point where a kid can transfer literally every year to every school to go play for the highest bidder. There's no more college allegiances to your whatever program it is. How do we get this thing back, though? How do we put the cat back in the bag?
Well, right now you're getting paid for all the amount the NCAA and all these big schools, you know, making millions and millions, and shadow economies developed. So players ended up getting their freedom. And now I have no problem with the players getting paid. It tells you how much money there is in college sports. When Miami signs, you know, they bring in Cam Ward for $1.5 million and they double it for their next quarterback.
Nearly tripled it.
Well, at least doubled, okay?
The market is the market, though, right?
Yeah, Tua taught us that.
Yeah, the market was a false market in the NFL on that. Whole different subject. But, I'm all in favor of players getting paid, getting some of the money that was going into weight rooms and you know, new dorm rooms and all that stuff. But there has to be some better organization to it. And whether that's, you know, again, a two-year contract or something, but it can't be just every year. It's a free-for-all.
All right, Dave, I want to jump into some of this Dolphin stuff, and you did something in the Sun Sentinel that I tried not to do on a Monday when we came in here, and that was to essentially look at the teams that were still playing and, you know, say, well, why can't the Dolphins be one of those teams? And then, you know, start listing a bunch of reasons why. And Omar said it starts in the trenches. I say it starts in the trenches, perhaps, but there's also a lot of other areas that are troubling. But, Dave, it seems like you have done that here, which we ask people not to do. Just enjoy the games. But I always got to come back to our poor Dolphins.
Well, I gotta keep it local. let's be honest. It starts in the front office.
Yeah.
All right. What's the vision for the team?
That's a great question.
What is winning football? We never hear of the term the Dolphins' way because they have no way. I mean, it changes every few years, and so.
I'm sorry for laughing that hard, Dave.
Well, he's right. I mean, what is their vision?
There is no vision. It's like, can we max out Daddy's credit card again?
Their vision is, what do we have to do this year to make the playoffs next year? Instead of having some long-term idea, okay, this is you know what Pittsburgh football is, whether they win or not, you know how they're.
Yes.
You know what Baltimore football is. Same with Kansas City now.
You got to have a little continuity for all that, Dave. You're bringing up organizations that have continuity.
He's right, though. They all have an identity. What is the Dolphins' identity? What
speed and fast.
Omar, what do they do well?
Flashy.
The GM's on a seventh year. How much continuity do you want?
Yeah, that is fair, too.
He's been there 10 years running the drafts. I mean, that's continuity. Right?
Hold on here, Dave. And you're going to make me treat you like these Dolphin fans on Twitter, okay? I know you've said
that. Okay, as long as I can treat you like Dolphin fans on Twitter, comments like that.
All right.
Nice counter, Dave.
You have tabbed it, Chris Greer, GM for life, and I think it's hilarious. However, he's here. He's not getting fired. You know
right.
What now? Like, what do we he's not going anywhere right now. Like, we all know that, you know, Mike McDaniel teams have caught up to his offense, or at least that's the theory now. Like, what now? What can they do now that actually helps them save their jobs?
Well, that's sort of and the column I tried to write for today was that, okay, look at all these winning teams. Now, the big story out of this weekend was takeaways. Teams, you know, Detroit had 5 turnovers. Philadelphia took the ball away twice, and obviously the Buffalo-Baltimore game was decided on basically Baltimore had 3 turnovers. So the Dolphins had a good defense scoring-wise. I mean, it surprised me what Anthony Weaver did with that defense. I thought, okay, that's maxing out, really, considering the talent. But they're 26 in takeaways, okay? So you look at, you're going to need – somehow to get more takeaways and turnovers, and that they were a good scoring defense, but they didn't change the game the way you look at these games this weekend. The defenses made big plays.
I mean, we don't even have a safety with an interception this season.
Exactly, right. And you know, they had 8 forced fumbles compared to, 15 the year before. So, there's a lot of issues there that you address that with personnel, I would think, but then you get into the personnel. So they need 2 starting guards, and you look at all these teams this weekend, there was no investment in the guards. The highest was a second round pick by Washington, 37th overall, but like Buffalo has a third round pick and a guy they took off the Rams for a 1-year deal, and then in 2022, and then they gave him a 2-year, $6 million deal. And that's sort of but they make these guards good enough. And the Dolphins, you know, have invested in guards sometimes and haven't made them good enough. So you just can't see using a first-round pick on a guard. Do they use it on a safety? That's another stretch. A 13th overall on a safety, maybe. But
this regime only drafts premium positions high.
And that's smart. I mean, they need a cornerback. They need a cornerback. I mean, the philosophy is smart in that regard.
They've just missed on a lot of the draft picks, but yes.
They missed on a lot of picks.
Here's my take on the whole. Do you feel like this is a 1 year and then you're out situation? If you don't
win. It has that feel to it, doesn't it? Yep. I mean, it has that feel. Okay, we're going to give you one more year to get it right. Or again, this ultimately comes down to Steve Ross, and he surprises you. He gave Joe Philbin another year when everybody was scratching their head. Why?
Yes.
And then fired him four games into the following year. It was kind of a surprise that that Chris Greer was given the keys to the franchise back in 2019 when they went to the tank route. It was a surprise they fired Brian Flores. So it's hard to read what Steve Ross's mind is, but from the outside, it sure looks like, we're going to give you one more year to straighten everything out.
Now, do you think that that's a healthy situation for you to vocally put it, your organization in, especially when it comes to free agents, when it comes to assistant coaches trying to join your staff, when it comes to, you know, selling the organization to people who need to buy in?
Never healthy, but what do you do? What's the alternative there, Omar? You buy into, okay, here's three more years, and when they haven't won anything?
Probably not.
Okay. I mean, so it just has the feel of that, they got to get some results this year. Then again, I said that last year, and in the what year of the rebuild are we in now?
Six, I think we're entering seven.
Depends on how you count. Seven.
Yeah.
It depends on what math you're using.
All right, Dave, we're not going to figure out the Dolphins today. Maybe we can take a stab at figuring out Jimmy Butler. I don't know where he ranks on unusual athletes you've covered over the years, and you've covered a lot of them.
He'd definitely be behind Ricky Williams.
He's got to be, but he's pretty close to the top of the mountain, I'm guessing, Dave. He gave a very strange press conference after the game on Friday. I don't know if he's fully engaged when he's out there. To be honest, it's tough to tell at this point. The Heat are in a really bad spot right now because I don't know what's out there to trade for, and I just don't know where they go from here, but... What do you make of this whole situation? Does it eventually come to a head at some point here? Like, how is this going to go down?
Yeah, I was there Friday night and watched Jimmy. When Jimmy got the ball or moved so he could get the ball, he was active, and otherwise he's basically standing around. I mean, his first half line was ridiculous. 8 points. No rebounds, no assists, no blocks, no steals, nothing at all. So, and that's how it's going to be. This is how he leaves town. It's a pity in many regards in that for 5 years he was the force that took them to three Eastern Conference Finals, two NBA Finals, and but I don't, you know, this is a mess. I don't know how. You know, you talk to people around the NBA, and they say it's going to involve like a four or a five-team deal so everybody can get out of it what they want. But, you know, they'd be better to wait. I mean, from a trade standpoint, it sounds like only Phoenix can take a contract like Jimmy's and give him the extension he wants in the middle of the year. Now, if you waited till the offseason, which, of course, who wants to keep this going for another 4 or 5 months? If you wait to the offseason, several other teams could be involved.
I guess the question then becomes, like, why would a team give Jimmy an extension right now? Like, what has he shown you over the last, not just this year, but the prior year? Like, what has he shown you that you want to, like, hitch your wagon to this guy and make him one of your top-paid players? Like, I don't know what he's doing that says, like, this is the guy, you know, that we want to have on our team for the next 3 years.
Well, I'm with you on that. Because what does he have left? Certainly in the playoffs is when he shows who he is, and he got hurt the first game of the last playoff. So essentially, as we roll around, it'd be 2 years since you've really seen Jimmy play a consistently strong night after night game? And do you want to invest in that if you're – well, I mean, the Heat are answering their own. They don't want to invest in that, yeah. And that's the real problem there. This isn't about, you know, joy or playing time. It's about money. Simple thing. He wants a contract. If he's not going to get it, he's going to take his $48 million this year and just you know, go through the motions of the season.
I wonder how much bad information he's getting too, Dave. Like, I know that he's probably surrounded himself with a lot of yes men, and I think his agent seems to be one of the biggest clowns in the game. I don't know where you rank that guy, Bernie Lee, but, like, I just feel like Jimmy's getting a lot of bad information, and maybe he needs to take, like, a long, hard look in the mirror and, like, hey, you're not that guy anymore, and you know, you're getting paid to go out and play. You're getting paid a lot of money to go out and play. You got another year on this thing if you want to opt in for another $53 million. So it's like, I just don't get what he's doing, like what his end game is. Like, if he really thinks some team out there is just dying to trade for him and bring him in and pay him all this money, like he may need to reevaluate things.
Well, you look at the NBA, Bradley Beal just got he's made, look at the people who are making big money. Mm-hmm. And you know, you could look in the mirror and say, "Hey, I'm as good as that." So, I get where you're saying. I agree with you that if I'm the Heat, I'm not investing in this to that to the level of $110 million is basically what it would take at another 2-year extension. But as Omar knows, following free agency, it just takes one team. And it sounds like Phoenix wants him. The question is how to negotiate just the architecture of a very complicated trade.
Yeah, they want to dump your Bradley Beal on Miami for what we want to dump.
Yeah, and the Heat would trade Bradley Beal to somewhere else, and here we go. You know, then you're off to the races of – okay, you get three other teams involved and trade draft picks moving around. And so that gets – you guys were talking about the NFL salary cap earlier. The NBA salary cap with the first and second aprons and all that stuff is – I can't even – someone has to translate for that for me.
Dave, thank you for the time. Certainly appreciate it. I'm not sure we got a lot accomplished here with this Dolphins thing and NIL.
GM for life, baby.
And Jimmy. But, Dave, hopefully you could find your joy here in this Dolphins offseason and come back a new man.
If I was making $48 million a year, I would have a lot of joy, let me tell you.
I would think. Dave, I'd take his paycheck for one game.
I looked it up the other day. I think he's made over $300 million.
I don't know if he's made over $300 million or not, but I know that he makes $500,000 a game right now.
Well, they always want that, you know, and I get it. Everybody's about the next contract, and he's no different. I can't blame him for that. But I do blame him for just quitting on the season and when he's making $48 million this year. That's not right.
Dave, thanks. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thank, by the way, everyone who has helped me out with a ballpark to go to here. We were trying to do Fenway. Until, like I said, spring break coincides with the Boston Marathon and happens to be apparently a very popular week to go to Boston.
The most popular week to go to Boston.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah.
The hotels were, outrageously expensive. Could not figure out why. And I go, well, maybe the marathon. I googled the marathon. Sure enough,
that's the worst week to go. I've been there during a Boston marathon. So yeah, I've been there. When you're traveling in an NFL city, the worst fear that you have is the marathons being there in the same time.
Well, they definitely block the roads. Yeah. I could say that firsthand. I know we have the Miami one that goes through downtown. A lot of people suggested Baltimore. We got another one for Cincinnati. Cincinnati sounds cool. The guy was telling me about Cincinnati.
I actually like Cincinnati. It's a pretty cool city.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I've never been.
I wouldn't take your son, but I would rather take your son to New York. I think he's never been to New York. I think you should take him to Yankee Stadium.
Now, I got to tell you, so a bunch of votes for Baltimore. I actually have been.
And you could do two for one.
I've been myself to Baltimore a long, long time ago. And I know that, I mean, I loved it when we went. It's been a really long time, though. We got to vote for Colorado, which I kind of like, too, because you can knock two things off there. You could hit Red Rocks, maybe see a show. Have you been? You're a concert guy, Dan. Omar never even heard of Red Rocks when I showed it to him. Have you been to Red Rocks?
No, I've never been, but every band I've ever interviewed that's played at Red Rocks, I'm like, is it as great as they say? Every band says it's even better than people say it is. That's what they say, so yeah.
What's the coolest concert venue you've been to, Dan? You've been to a lot of shows. You, by the way, you inspired me when I was in Charlotte. I was like, I don't know if I should go by myself. You go, yeah, man, of course you go by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So I you inspired me there. But what's the best concert venue you've been to? You've been to a lot of them. I will tell you, though, I am waiting for that DJ who did the little residency at the Sphere. I was reading. It looked like they might add some shows. I do want to see something. I do want to see the DJ at the Sphere. In Vegas. That's one on my list here. Red Rocks is on my list. But what do you got, Dan? Give me something on your list.
I'm thinking either the Gorge in Washington State or Hollywood Bowl, just because of the tradition and everything there. You know, I like these little divey, dumpy clubs, too. But, I mean, there's so many to name. I'm just trying to think. Even, like, here in Miami, I like going to Gramps. And they used to have Las Rosas. And
Revolution. I like. Do you like that Revolution spot?
It's all right. Yeah, it's cool.
That's the one in Fort Lauderdale, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what most music venues are in most cities.
Hold on. Wait a minute. So you would take Gramps over a Revolution?
Yeah, I like a little more of the hole in the wall in the back and stuff like that.
I'll tell you, so I actually like the concert venues. They have a couple in Orlando that I really like. I don't know if you've been to the House of Blues there. That place happens to be really cool. We saw a ton of shows there in college, and then they have one, I mean, I assume it still exists, at Universal. They had the Hard Rock Live. I haven't been there in many years, but I assume those places still exist. I do like a smaller concert venue. Like, if you could ever get to see a show in those places, it's definitely a better experience than, like, say, the stadium show or whatever. But
yeah, they still have the stuff in Orlando, because I was trying to go see Death Cab for Cutie like a year or two ago, and I was debating on going there. So it's still there.
I saw them at the Fillmore.
I know.
Big O got us tickets to that one. That was back at the Fillmore. I went with him and Greeper. Greeper goes, by the way, man, you talk about concert people. Nobody has Robert Greeper beat. That guy goes to, he's
Big O,
to
come, like, on, Big O's pretty big. Well,
they're both on the same level, but Greeper is like, every time I see him, you know, he works here on the weekends with us. He produces Canes Football, and he'll be like, well, I'm going to this show, and I'm going to this show, and he goes like to two or three a week.
I would say minimum three a week.
Right?
And it's to bands that, like, some I've never heard of. Some I didn't know they still existed.
Dude, the Sphere wasn't even open yet, and Greeper's like, I've been there twice. he's been to every concert venue on Earth. But, so that's basically what we're trying to do here this morning. And then Omar was asking me during the break, and he goes, what's a good first date spot? And I told him that...
Or first date event.
I told him that I haven't been on a first date in many years, so I don't know. I find everything to be in this city essentially to be overpriced. I have a few spots that I frequent, but someone else would have to help you on that one, Omar. I'm guessing, though, that you're in the dating world, that it is an expensive world to be a member of.
Yeah, it's about $150 a date.
That's it? I would have thought a whole lot more than that. But
I'm not a huge drinker, so
right. The drinks will run up the price. The other night I didn't drink when I went out to eat. I was like, wow, the bill is so low, and then I realized it's no alcohol.
Yeah, but then you know what? When they come over and you're at a nice place, they come over and they take your order, and you're like, oh, I have a water.
That's yeah. never a good.
And then
look.
they go like, well, do you want like the you know the
fancy? Do you want flat water or
no,
do you want fancy?
Just straight from the tap. Just straight from the tap.
Oh, you think that's a bad look?
You can go in the bathroom and put the thing under the sink and bring it out.
Here's the thing. Here's what I battle with. I'm not a big drinker. However, in order to make people feel comfortable drinking, you have to drink. So I'm a social drinker. So I always
is that true?
Yeah, people feel very weird when you don't drink.
Really, like, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, absolutely. Fair enough, if you're not getting tore up with them, they're like you're judging
well,
me.
Can't you like? I mean, so I also I'm like you. I don't like to get to that point anymore. I'm not in my 20s anymore.
Yeah, and alcohol is poison. You're literally putting poison in your body.
It does not feel good. It does not agree with me the way that it did in
absolutely
my
20s. Absolutely does not. Yeah.
Now, that being said, like if I go, so there are places like Dan was at Funky Buddha last night, and we had an event at Funky Buddha. They serve food that is designed to go with beer.
Yes.
And I like when you can pair it and enjoy it like that. Like, we're not talking about getting, you know, drinking to the point of like, you know, where you can't get up and walk out of the place.
Yeah.
But I do like, and now I don't drink wine. I don't know if you're a wine person. My wife loves wine.
No.
I don't have a taste for it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. I know that there are people that are like wine connoisseurs out there that will buy the most expensive bottle at the restaurant and, you know, they'll swish it around.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah. Smell it.
I don't know. I can't tell the difference between a $2 bottle and a very, very expensive bottle. Same with champagne. I don't really love champagne. I don't know if you like champagne.
I do.
I will tell you, we went to a show in Washington, D.C. when we were there. And, you know, we had someone to watch the kids, and we were at a place watching a show, and someone offered my wife a glass of Cristal, right? Isn't that like the most fancy champagne in the world? I've always wanted to try that because I thought that would be a cool thing to drink, right? Isn't that a cool drink? It tasted like the $5 bottle.
No, yeah.
I really could not taste the difference.
Yeah, I'm saying I can't.
I truly could not taste
beer,
the difference.
Beer I'm good with. I can tell you all types of cool stuff about beer and the flavor and the different types of textures.
But
I'm telling you, wine, you can give me Winn-Dixie $5 wine or $500 wine.
And
I'm
I was
like,
so excited to try it because it came in that, it was in that cool, they poured it out of the bottle. It was in that cool
it wasn't
bottle.
In the box?
No, it was in that cool bottle with that like ace, it was the ace of spades, Jay-Z one.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, this is so cool.
I felt the same way about Bel Air Rosé. Yeah, it just doesn't hit for me.
That tastes just like Cook's or whatever that stuff is that we buy on New Year's. So anyway, let's see here. We got some text coming in. Good first date sushi place in Meisner and Boca. Omar, I'm guessing you're not making it up.
I'm not making it Boca. Sorry. I don't even, if you're in
Omar.
Palm Beach, I'm like, no.
561
improv, man. Hit up.
No, I've done. Come on, I've done that. I do that all the time. But
I love
you want the first
comedy.
Date. You want to talk? Like
No, you don't.
Oh, absolutely,
do you?
I do. Yes,
really.
Yeah, you gotta get to know each other. Make sure there's a connection. Improv, you can't talk. It's like 2 hours of seeing a comedian, and then you gotta go. I guess that's where they make the money. You go to improv is an amazing place. So I'm there on a regular basis. Just was there Thursday last week.
Nice.
I happen to love
stand up comedy. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
You should go more. I should go a lot of places more.
I don't get out a ton.
I kept telling you, I watch the kids
until they allow kids into the improv. but. I will say that Marcos, who does the he works on the show after us, he is incredibly talented, and I give him all the credit in the world all the time. I tell him it takes big basketballs to get up on a stage and try to make people laugh.
Yeah,
like that is, you talk about tough, and you talk about like, so I hate being on stage. I can't do it. It really bothers me that we had to do it at the event we just had, and I was like really nervous about it. I don't like being on stage where people can see you. Now, I don't mind right now, because I just feel like I'm talking to you and Dan. Like, I don't care. Like, now it's fine.
Microphone
like,
in front of you,
like,
sitting with headphones, you're comfortable. But
I don't like the idea of like having to sit there and then people are looking at you and they're like, mm-hmm. you're like
they're
supposed to entertain them.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man, but like those guys get up and they do it at these comedy clubs. I you know, Marcos, man, all the credit in the world. 954 here, we'll go to break on this one. Omar says, I heard Tootsie's has great food, best wings in town.
Phenomenal.
There you go. Why don't you take your date there? I will be back on QAM after
I have
304 area code texted. We're trying to figure out some places to go here. The guy says, go to Sacramento, then swing by Milpitas. We can do that. That is a possibility. That's Kim Bocamper's hometown.
Well, what about Seattle? They have a great baseball park out there.
They do?
Good attendance, yeah. Too. Really well attended.
It's a long flight. Your son won't survive that.
Trying to avoid long flights here. 75 Forces Hollywood, considering you listen to the Bill Burr podcast, I'm assuming you are aware of the television show F is for Family. It's on Netflix, in case you're not. It also features Phil Hendry, when my opinion is the greatest radio personality of all time. I'm not aware of the show, to be honest with you. And that's not, like, I just don't have a ton of time right now to watch shows, sadly. I very rarely, like, we're trying. We've been stuck on The Penguin for a long time. We're trying to finish The Penguin.
It was good.
Severance season 2 just came out. And I would like to, at some point, try to watch that. Season 1 was good. I'd like to watch that. The only thing I've recently watched, outside of my sports documentaries that I do try to find time for during the day, because I can't watch, like, I can't watch shows like this without my wife. She would go nuts. Like,
yeah.
I do have to.
I think that's a violation of a marriage.
So I do watch some stuff on my own, mostly sports stuff. But I watched, I got roped into the Jerry Springer documentary.
I watched that the other night.
That was wild, man.
I mean, it's everything I thought it was. I mean, wild behind the scenes, I thought it would be.
Man, was that thing wild. I have watched a lot of weird documentaries on there. The Ashley Madison one was bizarre.
Yeah,
I watched that. I watched on there. That one, by the way, that's like a big disclaimer. They should put it on the thing. Do not watch with your significant other. Like, that should be on the thing. Like, you know how they say, like, TV, MA, and they say, like, what's wrong with it? They should be like, do not watch with wife. Like, the whole thing is about how, like, everyone's unhappy and they need to cheat. And like,
women,
like,
cheat too, brother.
Well, I'm sure they do. But again, it's not something you want to watch with your significant other. You don't want to, you know, have that awkward conversation afterwards, after you watch it. Like, you think what they did was okay? Like, yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that conversation.
It gives you the feel that, like, every guy does it and every guy will do it and it's going to happen. It's already happening. And you're like, well, no, I didn't do anything.
Women cheat too.